And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm just kind of speculating on what's going on in my garage. I have assets sitting in my garage that aren't making me any money. So what am I talking about? What kind of assets would be sitting in my garage that aren't earning me any money, but they're not costing me any money? Oh, I do have to point out something about these assets. These assets are considered depreciating assets. In other words, these are assets that have a tendency to go down in value year over year. So what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about my vehicles. I'm talking about the car that I drive. I'm talking about the truck that my wife drives. And we have these vehicles paid off, so we own them free and clear, but they don't produce any income for us like our real estate does. They just sit in the garage. Occasionally, they come out of the garage because we have to go to the store, we have a doctor's appointment, or we're going to go do some Lifestyles Unlimited event where we actually have to get out of the house and go take care of business. So I'm looking at these assets, and I'm wondering, what if I were to repurpose these assets? What if I could take these assets and get rid of them? What if I were to get rid of them? Now, there would be a problem with getting rid of both of our vehicles, and here's the problem. We still need transportation. We still need a way to get around. Some of you might go, well, that's what Uber's for, man. Why don't you just get an Uber? Well, I probably could, but I've never actually tried to figure out how to Uber from my house to the supermarket because I kind of live out a slightly rural type of location. I don't live in a major metropolitan area, so I don't know that Uber has a big presence here. And besides that, I hate waiting for cars to show up. That's one of the things that drives me bananas when I do go out and travel and I don't run a car. I'll take an Uber, and you could be standing there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 20 minutes waiting for the transportation to get there. And by the time the transportation gets there, you could have accomplished everything that you were trying to accomplish if you had your own wheels, right? All right, so let's get back to the concept of wheels. Let's get back to the concept of depreciating assets. Let's get back to the concept of vehicles sitting in my garage that aren't paying me any money. I am considering possibly selling those assets. I am. And here's why I'm considering selling those assets. Because I could take the money from those assets and I could put the money into assets that have a tendency to go up in value. They don't have a tendency to go down in value. Now, part of the reason vehicles go down in value is because there's always a new year group of vehicles, right? So one of my vehicles is I think it's a 2017. The other one's a 2019. So at the end of the day, they're coming out with the 2024s, right? So the 2024 is the nicer, newer version of what I had, and therefore it diminishes the value of my depreciating asset because now there is a newer, shinier version of my asset on the market, which ironically costs a lot more money than I paid for my assets when I actually bought the assets. Does that make sense? I probably just lost like 90% of you. But let me draw it back in. And let's say I could get $75,000 for these assets. And I decided that instead of buying a car all cash for $75,000, I decided to buy real estate. Now, I was looking at my inbox this morning and I found in my inbox multiple opportunities in multiple locations across the United States where I can buy real estate assets that will pay me an income stream. And I just kind of settled on the Kansas City market. And part of the reason I settled on the Kansas City market was because, well, the three most recent offerings that came into my inbox just happened to be in the Kansas City market. And I have owned property in the Kansas City market. So I kind of have a knowledge of the Kansas City market. I understand the economies of the Kansas City market. I understand, you know, where you should buy, where you maybe shouldn't buy. So I have some inherent knowledge because I used to invest primarily in the Kansas City market. So I took a look at these Kansas City market deals, and I realized that I could buy not one, not two, but three different properties for $75,000 cash out of pocket. And these properties would return me some pretty significant returns on cash flow. As a matter of fact, the return on cash flow that I would get from all three of these properties combined works out to be about 21.36%. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to resonate on that number, 21.36%. Meaning that I'm making 21.36% return on my money on cash flow based on the fact I'm injecting approximately $75,000 into three different real estate deals. I think that's pretty cool. In year one, after a year's worth of ownership of all three properties, you would have just shy of $16,000 in cash flow coming in to your household. So here's the question I have for you. What could you do with $16,000 worth of cash flow coming into your household? I think that works out to be, what, $1,250 per month? So you think about it. What could you pay for in your household that costs $1,250 per month? Now, for some of you, it might be a car payment. Now, let's think that through, because remember, I told you I have two assets sitting in my driveway that are actually going down in value. If I were to sell those assets and I were to take the money out of those assets, I could glean approximately $75,000. And then I could turn around and I could buy not one, not two, but three different properties in the Kansas City, Missouri market area. And these properties would require me to come out of pocket approximately $75,000. So what I've done is I've traded in two vehicles, right? And I've traded them for three single family assets that are quite a ways away from where I live. But I'm not nervous about that because I'm comfortable being a long distance investor. I know the marketplace that I'm considering investing in. It makes sense to me. I understand the primary, the secondary, and the tertiary markets of that particular marketplace. And I also know that that marketplace is poised to return great returns on investment for me as a real estate investor. So I'm not nervous about that. But let's get back to the point I was trying to make. Let's say I'm receiving $1,250 a month in cash flow on these assets. What could I use that money for? Well, I could use it for a car payment, right? I pointed out to you that one of the dangers of trading in the two vehicles that I own in my household is that I would have zero cars in my household. But when you think about it, if I were to buy three single family houses to replace two depreciating vehicles, I could develop an income stream that would pay the mortgage or the bank loan on the vehicle that I would buy to replace the two vehicles that I sold. Kind of hurts your head, doesn't it? But when you think about it, now I have assets that are actually paying me money, and I can use that money on anything that I want. So if I use that money to pay for the monthly expense of a bank loan on a vehicle, well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, in essence, I would trade in two vehicles, buy three houses, buy a car, and then I'd have the three houses paying for the vehicle that I now have in my household. What could go wrong? Not much. Not much could go wrong. Now, some of you are sitting there going, wait a minute, Al, you're saying you're getting like a 21.36% return on investment just on the cash flow. How is that? Well, the way it works is that one of the assets is poised to return $495 per month in cash flow. Another asset is poised to return $517 per month in cash flow. And the third asset is poised to return $317 per month in cash flow. And what that does for me is that when you add all that up, that's cash flow that I can use on anything that I want. Now, let's say I don't want a vehicle. Let's say I want to use it to pay my car. Well, I was going to say my car note, but I just said I'm not going to get a vehicle, right? So what could I use it for? I could use it for my utility expenses. I could pay for my water bill. I could pay for my landscaper. I could pay for other services that are provided to me at the place where I live that I choose to pay people to do because I don't want to do them myself. I mean, it's as simple as that. I guess I'm getting kind of a rich person's mentality, but I'm also 60 years of age. And, you know, the idea of going out and mowing down 3+ acres that I live on, well, that's kind of like a big task. I prefer to pay that 20-something-year-old guy to come do that for me because, number one, he does it a lot faster than I do it. Number two, he does a much better job than I do. Number three, he's knowledgeable about horticulture. He knows more about horticulture than I do. And as a result of that, my property looks beautiful based on what he does. And I don't think I could reinvent that. I don't think I could. But let's get back to this concept of using money that's sitting around in your household that's not doing anything for you. Now, for many of you have a thing called a 401k, or you have an IRA, or you have a 429 plan, or well, I don't even know what those things are. At the end of the day, many of these government-sponsored savings plans are just that. They are savings plans that you are putting money into. Now, they have a stock market component to them, and I know many of you are real happy with what's going on in the stock market currently, but you're just one devastating day away from the stock market imploding on you, and it could happen. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It may not happen until next month. It may not happen until we have a presidential election. But at the end of the day, that stock market is going to do what that stock market's going to do, whereas real estate tends to be more stable. It tends to be more, I've rented the property to somebody who wants to live in it for the next year. They know that they have to pay me at the beginning of the month. They pay me at the beginning of the month. I use that money to pay the associated costs with owning the property, which is essentially the taxes, the insurance, the mortgage payment, which includes the principal and the interest. I don't worry about setting money aside for a maintenance account. And the reason I don't do that is because I've been taught by Lifestyles Unlimited to go into the asset and fix or repair anything that could go wrong in the next 5 to 7 years. I bring it to new or brand new type of quality. And because I do that, I don't have to worry about something breaking in the property. And my residents know that if they're at fault, if they break something in the property, it has to be repaired. And more importantly, they're on the hook to pay for it. It's all pointed out to them in the lease. I cover it completely in the lease. Now, if something breaks and it's my responsibility, I don't have a problem at all repairing that. I do not have a problem repairing it. But my odds of having something break and having it be my responsibility are kind of slim to none. They really are slim to none. So at the end of the day, owning the real estate assets is a much more stable investment strategy for me, and I don't have to worry about the stock market doing whatever it is the stock market's going to do. When we come back from the break, I have more on these three properties in Kansas City. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa appreciates having mentors who have her back.
Having the faith to move forward, and y'all have everything provided. I could call a mentor and say, hey, I don't know what to do. Someone is always there to guide you. I have backup.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join now for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm toying around with the idea of selling my two vehicles. Now, I like my vehicles. They give me great utility. One's a truck, so I get the utility of having a truck. The other one's a sports car, so I get the utility of having a sports car. And between the two vehicles, they give me, well, just about everything that I need when it comes to owning rolling stock in my household. But here's the problem. There is value contained in those assets. And if I wait until this time next year to sell those assets, they'll be worth less money because they will have gone down in value. Those types of assets are what we commonly call depreciating assets. Now, there are other types of assets out there that don't depreciate. They tend to appreciate year over year. And we tend to call those types of assets real estate. We do tend to call that those types of assets real estate. And one of the things that we know is that real estate has a tendency to go up in value and double in value about every 20 years. In order to do that, real estate has to go up about, we'll call it 3.5% year over year in order to achieve that doubling effect. But real estate does tend to achieve that doubling effect every 20 years, a little faster in some places, a little slower in other places, but 20 years seems to be that sweet spot. So what is it about real estate and the fact that it tends to go up in value? What does that have to do with cash flow? It has nothing to do with cash flow. Not a single thing. No, cash flow is something completely different than the equity increases you would receive by buying real estate. Now, when you combine them together, it gives you multiple benefits. Not only do you get cash flow and the fact that the asset is producing cash flow for you that you can use to spend on anything you want, like maybe a car payment, you're also getting the equity growth components to real estate investing. What do I mean by the equity growth components? Okay, well, let me just tell you what they are. First of all, there's the natural appreciation. I kind of pointed that out to you a few moments ago when I told you that real estate tends to go up in value and double in value about every 20 years. Okay, so that's the natural appreciation. There's something called principal pay down. So what that means is we have a loan on the property. We will put leverage on the property. And the reason we do that is because we're using other people's money to help us take advantage of all the equities that we will earn, because other people's money in the form of a loan does not contribute or take part in any of the equity growth that we get. It's kind of cool. So by having a note on that property, a mortgage instrument, if you will, we're going to make a principal and interest payment on that mortgage. The interest expense itself is an expense. It's an expense that you write off against the property. Now, the principal that pays down every month, it's not an expense. But what it does for you is it reduces the amount that you owe on that asset. It devalues the loan a little bit every month. And what that does for you is that amount that it goes down a little bit every month is essentially repurposed as equity that's put on your property. So you gain more equity every month as you're paying down that principal payment on the mortgage. Those are two of the ways that we make money in real estate. Now, one of the other ways that we make money in real estate that has to do with equities has to do with the fact that we are trying to capture equity when we buy properties. What does that mean? It means we don't pay full market value for an all fixed up house. And the reason we don't do that is because we know, as Lifestyles Unlimited members, if we buy an asset that's in a depressed condition, we know that we can apply additional money to that asset, fix that asset up, and we can capture equity in the property. What does that mean, capture equity? Okay, what it really means is that we're buying the property at wholesale pricing. We are spending additional money to bring that property back to its glory days. I mean, that's really what we're doing. And by adding additional money, we're still staying at wholesale pricing. We're not getting to full retail pricing. The difference between the retail pricing or the after repair values, what we usually call it at Lifestyles Unlimited, and the wholesale price, your all-in cost, that's additional equity that you capture in the property. Now, just to give you an idea of what that kind of looks like, one of the properties that I'm looking at today has an after repair value of $185,000. That means that's the full retail price. In other words, if the property were in great shape, it were all fixed up, all the problems with the property were remediated, it would trade in the markets for $185,000. But the property is distressed, it's got issues, and you can buy the property for $136,000. Yeah, it's got issues to it. So you're spending $136,000 to buy a property that has the potential to have $185,000 worth of value. Now, in this particular asset, the rehab costs work out to be right in the neighborhood of around $18,000. So this is kind of a light rehab, and you're going to have closing and holding costs of about $10,000, but you're going to capture equity in the property of $21,000. $21,000. So what that means is your all-in cost, when you consider the amount that you're paying for the $136,000 that you're paying for the property, the $18,000 for the rehab, the $10,000 for closing and holding costs, you're going to be into that property for about 85 cents on the dollar. And you're going to capture an additional 15 cents on the dollar that's going to be equity that's going to go into your pocket. So your net equity captured is $21,000 on the property. So effectively what that means is that you have spent approximately $157,250 on a property that has full retail value in the market of about $185,000. It's pretty cool stuff, right? Now, on today's show, I'm talking about not buying just one of those assets. I'm talking about buying three of those assets. So property number two has the potential to return approximately $17,000 in additional net equity. And property number three has the potential to return approximately $31,000 in equity. There are two vehicles sitting in my garage. I own them free and clear. They are worth combined value about $75,000. I could sell the vehicles if they're willing to buy them. So I could take the $75,000 and I could turn around and I could pay cash for a vehicle. So what would ultimately impact my household is that I traded in two vehicles for one vehicle and I could probably have that vehicle free and clear. But there's another way to look at this. The other way to look at this is to sell those vehicles to the dealerships, take that $75,000, turn around, buy these three single-family assets in the Kansas City market that I'm talking about on today's show. These assets pay me cash flow, they pay me equity capture, they pay me principal pay down, they pay me natural appreciation, and then there's the tax advantages of being a real estate investor that protects the cash flow. These are all ways that we make money in real estate, and there are ways you can make money in real estate too. And what I'm pointing out is that by buying these three assets, I could put a loan on the replacement vehicle, and I could use the cash flow from these three cash flowing assets to pay for the loan on the vehicle. And over a five-year period of time, I would ultimately wind up paying off that vehicle. And at the end of the 5 years, I would still have the cash flow coming in from these assets. Now, I'm talking about single-family assets, so these things will pay me five different ways. Asset number one, that property is positioned to return a net total return of 247% return on investment when you consider the five different ways we make money in real estate, and you add them all up, you're getting a 246% return on investment. Now, property number two, it does a little bit better because it returns a 398% return on investment. If we add in property number three, it has a net total return of 406% return on investment. If I held these properties for a period of 5 years, I would get a 350% return on investment. We put $75,000 into these three assets. We didn't take the money out. We didn't do a cash out refinance. We didn't do anything to affect the money. But let's say at the end of 5 years, we decided to sell all three of these properties. We could expect to get a check from the escrow company back to us for approximately $332,000. And along the way, it paid for a vehicle, which is now sitting in your driveway, free and clear, because you put a five-year loan on that vehicle, used the cash flow coming off of the use of these properties to pay the associated expenses of having a mortgage for that vehicle. Heck, you probably could have paid for the insurance on that vehicle also. So it's kind of a free vehicle, right? And at the end of 5 years, you've sold off the properties. You've got a big check for $332,000. You've got a vehicle that's all paid off. Now what do? Do you buy boats and jet skis? No, you take that money and you buy more real estate. Now, if you had $332,000, what you probably ought to be buying is multifamily real estate, because you can get the economies of scale associated with being a multifamily investor. And you get the sixth way of making money in real estate, which is called forced appreciation, which can only be done in the multifamily space. So do I have you thinking a little bit differently? Because if you're going to be a real estate investor, if you're going to change the trajectory of your life, what you need to do is you need to start approaching assets differently. Stop looking at assets from the fact that, well, the asset is paid off. Well, the asset is this. Well, the asset is that. What you need to start doing is looking at assets from, well, this asset produces this rate of return, or that asset produces that rate of return. And when you look at the three different assets that I'm talking about on today's show, all three of these assets produce a different rate of return, right? I pointed that out to you earlier in the show. One of them has the ability to produce 246% return on investment. Another one has the ability to produce 398% return on investment. Still, another one has the ability to produce 406% return on investment. Let's say you can only buy two of the properties. Let's say you don't have $75,000. Let's say you have less money than that. Let's say you can only buy two of these assets. Which one should you buy? Well, right up front, you should know right off the top of your head, well, I should be buying the one that's producing 398% return on investment and the one that's buying returning 406% return on investment, because those are giving me better rates of return than the first asset, which is only producing 246% return on investment. And right there and then, you are starting to understand the modality of becoming a real estate investor. Now, let me just tell you that your cash out-of-pocket requirements for those two particular assets are only going to be $29,000 for one of the assets and $17,000 for the other asset. So instead of needing an entire $75,000, you really only need around $45,000 in cash. And most of you would find it easier to come up with $45,000 in cash than you would finding $75,000 in available cash. Pretty cool stuff, right? Okay, so at the end of the day, some of you are squawking about the fact we have these properties, they're in St. Louis, Missouri, or Kansas City, Missouri is the proper place. And the answer I have to that is, so what? If Kansas City, Missouri is the place that you have to go in order to get the types of deals that you need to get in order to get the cash flow, the equity capture, the principal pay down, the natural appreciation, and the tax advantages associated with owning the asset, then you ought to be in Kansas City, Missouri. You ought to be like the Lifestyles Unlimited members that are investing their hard-earned money into the Kansas City, Missouri market, because the reason they're doing that is they're getting the rates of return that they're looking for, because they are either one of two places. They're either completely retired or they're on the path. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.